Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
All right. Yes, indeed, it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story to us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file of the story if you're recorded on your device. It's great if you're overseas and don't want to call in. You can email that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. On today's episode, something takes the opportunity to scare a young girl in the school bathroom. Lots of ghosts in bathrooms.
Yeah.
It's a common occurrence. The same house seems to curse only the men in two separate families. Summertime exploration of a vacant house leaves the kids with more questions than answers, and time seems to become jumbled and events out of order for one listener. Those stories and more today at Real Ghost Stories Online. We're also Facebook Living this, so we'll probably have some banter from questions that our friends are posting up there. So if you're just beginning to watch this on Facebook Live, post your questions. And if you're one of the people who are watching right now, do us a favor up there and press share on this post. That'll help other folks discover that this is going on live right now. Get a lot of people who are like, damn, I wish I knew it was live.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much at the mercy of Facebook putting it in someone's feed. So pressing that share button certainly does help quite a bit. Lots of people saying Merry Christmas and hi and heard my story today, so Merry Christmas. Hi, I'm glad you're happy. So there we go. And thank you. So thank you guys for watching. We'll go to our first story of the day here in Real Ghost Stories Online. And it comes into us from Jillian. And Jillian writes in, "When I was younger, I seem to have been much more sensitive to spirits and encounters than I am now. When I was younger, from the ages of 6 to 14, I had been almost a magnet to paranormal entities. Now all I ever experience are feelings. From ages of 5 to 14, I went to an extremely small school where my graduating class was only 21 students. I had little to no friends because I was considered to be the goody two-shoes of the class. I refused to drink, smoke, trespass, or do prank phone calls. They were also spreading rumors that I was a bulimic or anorexic, but both were not true under any means. It was rough. Eventually, growth and development started, hit me as puberty was affecting all the students in the school. I believe this to be the major reason these curious and terrifying things had happened to me. To make the first encounter story make more sense, let me explain how I suffered badly from eye allergies. As a child, I did not take any allergy medication to soothe it. And all I had on me was a bottle of Visine eye drops for any sort of relief. The classes in fifth grade were divided into halves. One half of the fifth grade class went to one teacher and the other half stayed with the second teacher. I hardly ever saw the other class, even though the classes were adjacent to each other. Fifth grade class was to stay in the upper level of the school. There were only two parts of the upper level. Most of the upper level was a library. I always seemed to get a feel of happiness or jittery giddiness in the library. I never knew why. The fifth grade room gave my negative feelings. I always felt like I was being watched. One day, my allergies were practically intolerable. I was rubbing my eyes so badly that now, as I think of it, it's probably the reason behind me having astigmatism in both of my eyes. No matter. I asked my teacher if I could go put in eye drops in the bathroom if I was allowed to, and I was. If I had known what was about to experience, I probably would have made sure I had a recording device with me because no one will believe me when I tell them this story. Which sucks because it was absolutely terrifying. I step inside the bathroom, which is downstairs from the fifth grade classroom, well way down the hallway. Important, the bathroom is an echoing and cement-blocked small room. It was also connected to the changing room of the school pool. The connection door was commonly locked when a class wasn't going on in the pool. That was a day where no classes were happening. The locker room was well locked up. No noises were coming from either room. The lighting was less than perfect in the bathroom and barely non-existent in the locker room. I walked over to one of the scratched-up mirrors and opened my bottle of drops to finally give myself some relief, or so I thought. The minute I held my eye open and tilted my head upward to the ceiling and started to hear something. I, to this day, will never forget. I heard a voice coming from right in front of me, a voice with no specified gender, heavily whispered, "Why now? Why now?" For a total of three times. I'd experienced things in my apartment before and wasn't as scared over those encounters, but this encounter made me cower in the corner of the room. My eyes wide open, my skin turning white and cold, it soon stopped. I couldn't get myself to move from my spot. But five silent and terrifying minutes into that dully lit bathroom, I got up, left the bathroom with my back pressed up against the wall, scared to have something come up behind my back. I returned to my class with a flushed face my classmates were inquiring over. At least my eyes were no longer the thing that bothered me. From that day on, I hated being in that bathroom alone. I have a second bathroom story. I'll write into you guys soon.
I guess all kinds of things paranormal can happen in a school bathroom, because we've even had a great story
mm-hmm.
where somebody just vanished.
Sure.
In a school bathroom.
That was one of the creepier stories that we've ever had on the show, was that one.
Yeah.
Was it an EPP episode?
It was, and I'm not sure which number it was.
I'd want to guess it'd have to be like probably in like the 50s.
Maybe.
Or early. Or in the first 50 is what I think I'm trying to say.
I think maybe so.
I think it's probably in there somewhere. But yeah, that was one of the creepier stories. It's never really good if the ghost story is involving a school bathroom, it seems. It's never like, I went to the school bathroom and I got a great message from my deceased, you know, grandparent or something like that. It's always like something very, very creepy. I mean, everybody up here on Facebook right now is saying, old school bathrooms are creepy as hell and just...
Well, and it makes you wonder why the ghost said, why now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
I don't know. Yeah. That's one of the bizarre things to try and contemplate as far as why is it saying why now? Mm-hmm. Does it have anything to do with what was going on at that moment in time, or was it just there?
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the things that, remember when you're a kid and you see something for the first time, and you're like, oh my God, what the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those moments at the bathroom at the first public school that I went to. And this was sixth grade. It was the first time I actually went to a public school.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom at the other school I went to just had normal sinks. And I'm getting to the bathroom sinks in, mm-hmm. in the schools. I'm talking about the big round ones where you press on the pedal.
Yeah.
And it just kind of showers down everywhere.
Sure.
Do they still have those? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. The last few schools I've been in, they had actual sinks.
Sure.
They have the electric faucets or the sensor faucets, but they actually have several sinks in a row.
I remember seeing that going, what the heck is this? It was just, it was a mind-blowing moment,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what it was. What was the purpose of that over a normal sink?
Hopefully that multiple kids could wash their hands at the same time.
That makes sense. Because it was mainly like elementary that had that. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of little kids in there at once and bathroom breaks. Okay, that makes sense. Because then, obviously, junior high, high school, there's no recess. There's not mass, okay, it's bathroom time and 30 people going at once.
Well, and two, when you have little kids, there's a lot of times where the class has done a project and they all have to take turns going to wash their hands.
Sure.
So you can send, you know, half dozen boys, half dozen girls to wash their hands at the same time.
And we're cleaning a lot of paintbrushes out.
Yes.
And sponges mm-hmm. that had, you know, the paint in from whatever project
mm-hmm.
in those things. And it always just kind of sucked because the water pressure, it was so bad. It was just like the little, it's like washing something in a shower mm-hmm. with a bad shower head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, who's going on wash the brush duty today? And that was always a pain in the ass. Someone says it's called a trough. We have one at my job.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're still out there and still working. All right. One of our other listeners says, hello from Vegas. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. Let's go to our next story. And by the way, you guys, if you have any questions for us you'd like us to answer in between stories, feel free to post them up there on the Facebook feed. And I will scan through at the end of the story and try and we'll try and answer those as we go on with today's show. Remy writes in the next story. Hi, I'm a new listener, but I really wanted to share this story. It comes from my mom and takes place around the 1980s in Michigan. Her grandmother lived in an old hospital before she died. This sounds super creepy, but it was a proctology hospital, as far as she knows. Towards the end of her grandmother's life, a part of my mom's family, her and her mom, I think, were living with her to help care for her. Excuse me. A little bit of water. That'll
okay.
help.
Okay, that'll be good.
My mom slept in a recliner in her grandma's bedroom. A little while, her grandma had been asking who that old lady who came to take care of her was. Everyone pretty much brushed it off, chalking it up to her being old and close to death. One night, my mom was asleep in her recliner. When she tells this part, she says that she can remember exactly how she was laying, face up, arms folded over her chest. She said she felt a light tap on her shoulder. Light enough for her to ignore. She opened her eyes, and she feels a couple harder taps on her shoulder. There's an old woman standing above her, smiling. Half of the woman's face was moldy, and her teeth were missing. My mom didn't scream, but she obviously looked terrified, and the old lady must have felt bad about scaring her. My mom says she didn't feel like the lady was there to hurt her, because she booked it into the closet. My mom, being crazy, jumped up from her chair and followed the lady to the closet. When she opened the door, she saw, in her own words, the old, little, handicapped girl sitting in the closet giggling. She didn't see the lady anymore after that, but my aunt did. She and my mom were going out drinking, and my mom needed to change her shirt before they left, so my aunt ran up to their grandma's room, tried to grab her a new shirt, but was shocked out of it when she, too, saw the two little girls and the old lady in the closet. I don't know what kind of weird shit the proctologist was up to get his hospital haunted by a moldy old woman and two special needs ghosts. Satanic rituals? Thanks for taking my story. My mom's going to be happy she got to share it with other people.
I think there's more history to that building than a proctology hospital, and I didn't know they had entire hospitals for proctologists, so I think maybe there's something a little off there.
A little bit beyond just that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does make you wonder what was going on there. And that could also be a case, too, where, you know, is it a hospital? Is it more of a clinic? Was there something else there before that?
That's what I'm thinking. If it's a big hospital, that it was something else, and maybe there was a proctology wing or proctology department or something like that.
It's hard to know and hard to tell, but that would be my guess.
Pain in the ass ghost, though.
Truly is. Mm-hmm. Be a great title. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we already have a title.
Oh, but there you go.
But that would have been, I like that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. By the way, if you want to follow us on social media, we have all the accounts active and functioning these days. Hello, Todd Michaels, Haunted Vampires. He's joining the feed. We've talked about Todd many times on this show, an old friend of mine from back. He's the one who, if it weren't for Todd, I wouldn't be doing the show. He's the one who got me into radio. So we are on social media at Ghost Story Radio on Twitter, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. And obviously, if you're watching us on Facebook right now, you already know where we are. Lori writes into us, hello, Tony and Jenny. I've always been intrigued by the afterlife, mediums, and ghosts, but never had direct contact with spirits in a manifestation or investigation capacity. I've had nothing malicious or creepy happen. Any experience I have had was always kind of gentle, the feeling of family members in visitation, mostly in dreams. This is where my story starts. I've been living in Florida for about 10 years now. When I had the dream, we were already living in Florida, but the dream took place in the house I grew up in on Long Island. My mother lost her mom over 30 years ago, and when my sister was expecting her second child, my grandmother had already been deceased for several years. We're Jewish, so we name our children for the dead. My sister decided she would name her second child after her. Granted, we didn't know the baby's gender at the time. I went to sleep, and it was so lucid. In my house, there was a front door. To the right was the heavy wood paneled den. To the left was our living room with a big bay window. Directly in front of the front door was a set of stairs that led to the second floor. I felt myself move through the den. It was dark, and I could see my mom sitting on the love seat, not doing anything, just sitting there. I said hello and kept moving. When you step out of the den, there's a hallway adjacent to the den as a room that used to be my sister's, then my brother's old bedroom, later being an office. It was set up as an office with a desk. I was shocked to see my grandmother, my mom's mother, sitting behind that desk crocheting. Mind you, when I told my mom my dream, she confirmed she did crochet. I never knew that, especially because I was only 9 when she died. I remember her face, her blue eyes, and that stiff beehive blonde hairstyle she had. She looked up from me, putting down her needlework, and smiled the sweetest smile, like she was so happy for my visit. I wanted to tell my mom that she was in the next room, but I was afraid that if my eyes left her gaze, she would disappear. I motioned for my mom to come to the den, but she never did move. My grandmother and I didn't vocalize anything, just spoke with our eyes. I asked her if she was happy, and that Debbie, my sister, was naming her baby after her. Again, she gazed upon me, tilted her head to the side, and smiled sweetly. In my mind, I heard her say, "Tell Debbie I was very happy she's naming her child after me." Then I asked how Grandpa Jesse was, and her reaction to that question made me chuckle. She shrugged, curled up her nose, almost insinuating that, he's not good and he's not bad. Later, my mom confirmed that would be exactly how she would react when someone would ask her about my grandfather. They didn't have the best marriage, and she was always indifferent to him. In addition, he was an atheist, never believing in heaven or God, so it was ironic knowing he was where she was, and he was still hanging around her. The point of my story is, I've had experiences that I cannot explain, but I know there is an existence after this one. I don't know if this story is good enough to share on your show, but at least I have an outlet where I can share it. I know it's not just a memory I had in a dream, because she knew about current events at the time, and her personality was confirmed by her daughter. I didn't know she did needlepoint or crocheting, nor did I really know how deep her indifference to my grandfather ran. I've had other visitations and dreams. Maybe I'll share them at a later time. I enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to them for a while and hope to one day become an EPP. Keep up the good work. I'll be listening.
I think that just shows that it's more than a dream when you gain information that you would not have otherwise known, or, you know, something like that that carries over into, I don't want to say real life, but more like, you know, waking hours.
Sure. Well, I think that's exactly it. And that's one of those times where it's a story, a dream story, where it makes sense. The two interconnect. And just by the personality and things of that nature, that I think even sometimes validates it even more than just this person's name or you know, this event or that. Because sometimes those personality traits and tics and whatever are much more telling of this certainly was that person, because how else would you know that one or that piece of the puzzle? So I certainly believe that was definitely a visitation there.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you for that. Some questions. Have you heard of a prep school in St. Nazarene in Wisconsin? I know there are a lot of haunted stories from there. I have not, but I would love to hear those stories if you have them. Let's see here. Have you guys ever had any stories from the Hotel Colorado in Glenwood Springs, Colorado? Have we had any from there?
Not that I know of.
It's not to say that we couldn't have, but not that, because sometimes we get stories too where it's like, I'm not going to say the name of this place or whatnot. I'm sure caring facilities have activities, like hospice homes have a lot of activity. Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. There are so many.
We had a hospice nurse call us one time from a broom closet, terrified.
Yes, like live.
Well, we weren't taking the call live, but she called as it was going on.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It's not that I want people to be in those situations, but part of me wants those people to be in those situations. Because, I mean, I don't wish it to anyone, kind of, but if you're in a ghostly situation, you have nothing, you don't know what to do, you don't know who you can talk to, and not that when you're calling and sharing your story, you're talking to anyone at that moment, but you kind of are. I mean, you're, I think sometimes kind of working through it in your mind.
Just being able to tell a non-judgmental place.
Yeah.
Have the what's going on.
It's nice to have that.
Yeah.
That little place you can call. So put us in your speed dial in their emergency contacts, and then you can call in when you have a ghost story that's taking place at the moment. Because I think sometimes, too, if you're able to recount what's going on right at that moment, then you can listen, you can go back and go, oh, yeah, that is how that happened. Because I think sometimes when you have a situation that is paranormal or unexplainable, you may try to recount it and go, you know, a couple days later and be thinking, well, maybe that didn't quite happen like that. But if you're giving that recount right at that moment, that documents it a lot more.
It does.
Than just trying to recall it later. So we love those calls. Of course, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Tori writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tori from Lancaster, California. I've called before and wanted to share another story. I'd like to start with a little backstory. My friend Julie was selling her house because she was moving away with her fiance to another area. He was very sick and needed special medical attention because they didn't know what was causing his medical deterioration. This was 13 years ago. We moved in and rented the house until she was able to sell it. Within days of living in the house, I noticed that something was in the house. I heard voices when I was alone, footsteps knocking on the windows that faced the backyard, and stuff being taken out of closets. I also noticed that my husband at that time was acting weird. He started drinking more and started using drugs. He also became verbally and physically abusive. Within 6 months of living there, our marriage was over and I was planning to leave. The last straw was when someone was shot in our driveway while I was at work. I told Julie I needed to move out. That's when she told me the most amazing news. Her fiance was completely healthy and he was miraculously healed from his condition that almost killed him. She said within a month of them moving, he started getting better. Now his doctors are baffled. Her fiance got better, and my husband had basically gone downhill fast with his drugs and alcohol. We moved out and separated. It took him a year to clean up and get somewhat back to normal. I'm curious if you think that whatever was in the house was attacking men. Sorry it went so long, but I thought you might like to hear the story. Thanks for reading my last story, and I hope to hear this one, too.
I think possibly. I think obviously something in the house was causing an adverse reaction to both the men in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird. It makes you wonder if there's something wrong with the house itself or if there's something within the house that's doing that.
It's also interesting how you have, you know, like it's almost like energy and, you know, sensible thinking sucked out of one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goodness, you know, pushed into the other and then recovery.
Right.
It's almost like a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's really what happened there as far as, you know, like the two are interconnected in that way. But yeah, it does sound like something is sitting there going after that, mm-hmm. the men in the house. So thank you for that story and sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Lots of suggestions being posted up there in Facebook Live right now of places that are haunted and places that would be interesting to look into.
Okay.
A little bit. And I've another post on Facebook today asked our listeners for ideas and suggestions on folks to interview in the new year.
Okay.
For trying to get on the show. Now, it's one thing to have the suggestion and another thing to actually get the person
sure. That's
in the suggestion, but I'm totally open for that. Of course, I scan around for books that are coming out and things of that nature who'd be interesting to have on the show. So if you have any of that, too, you can always post that in the feed or post it in that other post on Facebook that we have up there for those suggestions. And I'll look into trying to get some of those lined up for the new year. Nikki writes into us, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. This happened to me as a young kid, not sure how old. I was very young, and I don't claim it to be a confirmed experience, as I've always had a wild imagination and am easily scared. Even so, thought it would be interesting to write in and contribute, since this story has the potential to be something beyond the paranormal. I can't remember it clearly, but I know that I was in my mother's bedroom, lying on her bed. She left the room, and then when she was gone, I suddenly felt very afraid. I heard something like music, except it wasn't quite normal. Maybe there was music already playing in the room and it started to warp, but I know this strange beat got louder and louder, like a thumping music. If you've ever accidentally turned a stereo up to full and felt your heart skip, that was what it felt like. Then I saw this ring of shadows all around me dancing on the walls. They got bigger as the music got louder. If you've ever seen Howl's Moving Castle and seen the scene where the Witch of the Waste got trapped in that room and messed up and those dark stick figures started appearing, it was vaguely like that. I sometimes wonder if it was a nightmare inspired by watching that movie, an old childhood favorite, or if I'd been drifting off to sleep. When I rewatched it recently, it just didn't feel like it fit. The memory feels different, if that makes sense. It happened seemingly so long ago that I mostly remember my fear and confusion. Anyway, eventually I began to scream for Mom as she rushed back up to the room. When she entered, it was like it all suddenly disappeared, like it had never happened. I don't think she saw or heard anything, since she's never mentioned anything to me. Other than that, I haven't had any other notable experiences. Our house is a bit old, but not ancient. A converted shop, I think. Nothing much else has ever happened here. Just one other occurrence with what I believe must have been a family ghost. Maybe I'll write in about that again. Anyway, thought it could be interesting. Get your take on that. I've never really felt safe in my own room, just next to my mom's. But weirdly enough, I always seem sleep perfectly in my mom's room. Probably more the fact that I struggle to sleep when nobody is in the same room as me. Maybe it's connected, maybe not. Thanks for all the hard work you put into your show. I love listening, and although I'm not currently an EPP, there's always hope. I look forward to the day I can afford it. All the love, guys. Nikki.
You know, I think sometimes there's just things confined to certain rooms, and I don't know why, but I think that's part of the reason. And maybe it's not that they're confined to rooms. Maybe they just choose to stay in certain rooms, to where, like, your mom's room next door could be completely fine, but mm-hmm. your room is haunted as all get out.
And I wonder sometimes if that's more connected to an object.
Could be.
Than it is the room itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the experiment you could do is, let's switch rooms. All mm-hmm. objects in one room go to that room. All objects in this room go to that room. Mm-hmm. And see if it moves.
Sure.
If the confinement of it changes. Although, then you have to wonder also, could it also be just the person mm-hmm. that has the haunting going on to it? Or that person is the one that's able to pick up on it?
It's just interesting because it seems like that same person, when they go in the other room, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me maybe it's not the person, it's the object or the room.
Mm-hmm. So many possibilities.
Could be.
So hard to know any of this.
Yeah.
Susan writes into us, in 2004, my dad committed suicide, and as you can imagine, it was a very stressful time for myself and my family. I spent several days with my sister cleaning my dad's apartment and boxing up his belongings. Did I mention that Dad decided to end his life on Father's Day weekend? I returned to work about a week after his death and tried to do my best. About 3 weeks after he died, we had to deal with the first missed celebration, that being his birthday. I was a mess. I bought a chocolate cake to share with my coworkers and put on the happy face, but inside I was breaking. I sat at my desk, which was nowhere near a door, and the windows in the office won't open. I started crying quietly, and suddenly I was overwhelmed by the smell of cigarettes. My dad was a major chain smoker, and thus he had the lovely smoker smell. It struck me as odd at first, and then it hit me. My dad was there trying to make me feel better, and the smell was his way of telling me he was there. No one had walked by, and as I mentioned, no doors or windows for the smoke to come through. I was able to compose myself and quietly tell Dad thank you. I have more stories, and I will write in again.
Makes you wonder if they just hang around to try and help with closure.
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially sometimes in an incident like that, where, you know, after the fact, it's like, I really need to stick around. Because obviously, no one knows, you know, what exactly will happen once you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what path, what options you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're given options like that, it's like, oh, okay, yes. I need to be here. So I think that's what happens a lot with deaths, whether it's something of that nature or an accident or what have you. When given the option, you know, can I be there for my family for at least for a little while?
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's done. And then it's you're exactly right. It's like the closure got to happen, and then they move on to whatever else that path leads them on.
Right.
So thank you for the story. Reedy writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Reedy. I wrote in about a year ago about the story of seeing my alive grandfather in my living room, only to find out later that he wasn't there. I doubt you remember, but at the time I said that was the weirdest paranormal experience I ever had until now. I'm a 20-year-old university student and live in a 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom apartment on a university campus. The place is sectioned off so that every 2 rooms have their own personal hallway, and the room doors are facing each other, except for one master bedroom, which has its own hallway. It's important to note that there aren't any lights, windows, or smoke detectors in the small individual hallways. So, my best friend Sarah lives in the room right across from me, in the same hallway. She recently started dating a guy, and she generally spends every evening on campus with him, until about 11 or 12 at night, so it's not unusual for her to be out of the house on a weekday. This day, I had just come back from the doctor's and was sitting on Skype with my boyfriend. It was about 8:30 p.m., and I was sitting in bed, giggling at a joke he made and eating some takeout. It's important to note that I have a floor-to-ceiling-length mirror that is right next to my bedroom door and is visible from my bed. As I was talking to my boyfriend, I thought I saw something in the reflection of the mirror. When I looked over, I saw the most unusual thing. Through the bottom gap between my door and the floor, there was a red laser pointer. For those who don't know, laser pointers are those long sticks which professors use in classes to point at notes with a red laser beam that cannot otherwise be reached by hand or with a ruler. This red laser beam was on a very bright setting, and it was poking in and out of my door really fast, not in a slow, scary way, though almost like a child was trying to be playful with me. I assumed it was my best friend. I was hardly surprised because it was like her to do something goofy like this just to get my attention. And I got up the minute I saw it. I didn't even pause. And as I was walking straight to my door, the laser pointer was still poking through the door. The distance from the door to my bed is about 3 steps. I practically live in a shoebox. I ran to my door laughing and said, "Sarah, you are so weird. What are you doing?" And pulled my door open really hard. And to my surprise, there was no one there. Initially, I thought Sarah might have ran into her bedroom, but the lights were off, her door was unlocked, and no one was inside. Since the lights are on in the main hall, I would have heard or seen other roommates' shadows if they quickly ran after pranking me, but no such thing happened. I wasn't particularly close with the other two girls, so it's highly unlikely that they did anything like that. We also have a very loud lock, so if someone had come in and gone back out, I would have heard the door unlock. Anyway, still believing Sarah had ran down the hall and was waiting to scare me, I went down the hall, still laughing and saying her name. No one was there. Her shoes and jacket as well, as the shoes and jacket of my other two roommates are gone. I ran over to my other friend's room, the fifth girl who lived with us, Jenny, and she opened the door, hair soaking wet and wrapped in a towel. When I told her what had happened, she was laughing and said I was tripping balls and didn't believe me at all. I asked her if she was just messing with me, and she swore up and down that she had been showering and just got out. I could tell that she wasn't lying, and she hadn't done anything. I know it couldn't have been any human, since all signs pointed to that. I know it doesn't sound very scary, but it was the realest experience that I had, also the weirdest. I was so scared and slept with my lights on for a month afterwards. My question is, what did I experience? What was that red light? Was it paranormal? Why would a spirit want to spook me in the most obscure way? Love to hear your thoughts on it. P.S. I have a humorous story about when I was fooled, or when I fooled my cousin into thinking that a demon was after her. I'm not sure if your podcast broadcasts any stories that aren't truly scary, but let me know if you're interested in doing so, and I'll send it in. Cheers.
I think maybe it wasn't trying to scare her. It was just trying to get an acknowledgement, hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. In some way, and that's how it... And I'm wondering if the laser, you know, that's how it was registered in her mind, because that's the reference point you have when you see a very minute, concentrated ball of light.
Mm-hmm.
Laser pointer.
Right.
You know, that's what's going through your mind. But I wonder if it was more of an orb.
Could be.
That was projecting itself on the wall. This is not the first time I've heard of a ghostly experience laser pointer.
Okay.
At the radio station I worked at in Wichita, my boss at the time said that he was downstairs in one of our production rooms. And in that building, you know, if you're there on the weekend, there's not many people around, and you can very easily tell it's full window if there's someone else there
mm-hmm.
messing with you. There's really no place to hide. So there's no room for someone to have a laser pointer somewhere else and to be shooting it in the direction where he was seeing it. And he said he was in there in the dark, and you can do that in a studio. You have all the computer monitors that light up the room pretty well. And suddenly he saw what appeared to be like a laser pointer shooting. I don't know if it was on the equipment or it was somewhere in the room, somewhere visible to him where it shouldn't have been. And it wasn't like a reflection of a monitor or another light from a piece of equipment. It was what looked like a laser pointer.
Okay.
And he's looking around, like thinking at first, there's someone over in the other area shooting this thing. No one's there. That was that. That was the story.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy laser pointer like thing.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it's odd that is how some of these things make themselves known. Why is that the shape or the size or the view that they give?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it appears that is another option.
Wow.
Or something that way that they are seen. But anyway, interesting story.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Kelsey writes, and hi there. I love listening to your podcast during work. It makes the day so much more bearable. So there's my story. Oh, so here's my story. There's a story. Thanks for the show. Goodbye. So here's my story. Several years ago, when I was a senior in high school over Thanksgiving break, my freshman biology teacher passed away in a car accident. The accident was violent, and she was ejected from the car despite wearing a seatbelt. It wasn't a huge town, so the news was all over the local papers. The school held a vigil, which I attended, as well as offering counseling for students I was not particularly close with this teacher. In fact, I'm sure she hated me, considering she gave me detention every chance she got. Still, I felt I needed to pay my respects and could not attend the funeral because it was during school hours. The cemetery she was laid to rest in was small, but very, very old and pretty creepy. I was not going to go alone, so I asked my friend to go with me to visit her grave. We went one day in the late afternoon, getting close to sunset. We're having trouble finding her headstone, and it got even more difficult after dark. I was trying to be respectful of the other people laid to rest in the cemetery, as there was only one or two paths throughout the cemetery, and she was not buried close to any of the paths, so that meant cutting across the land and weaving around graves, apologizing if I had to step on one of the graves. We were not able to find her grave, so we gave up and elected to try again the following day when it was daylight. We headed back to the car, and I drove her home and then went to my house. I was sitting in the rocking chair in my room listening to music, feeling slightly eerie, but I figured it was just my paranoia from being in a cemetery after dark. It felt like time stopped and everything was silent. I looked at my phone, assuming that it had died, and that's why my music had stopped, but it was still playing normally. I had a picture of a wolf hanging on my wall, and that was at least 3 or 4 pounds. It was tacked into the wall and had never been moved. Suddenly, it flew off the wall across my bedroom, and I could understand if it had fallen straight down because the track couldn't hold, but it had flown across to the other side of my room. I went over and picked it up, and my music started playing again, and the TV that had been on the whole time shut off. I went to hang the picture back on the wall to see if it would happen again, and sure enough, it did not. I immediately called my friend who visited the cemetery with me to see if everything was okay with her. She said she had been feeling weird ever since she got home and had all the lights on in her house and she couldn't sleep. I told her about my experience and she was even more freaked out. She ended up coming over and spending the night with me because neither of us could sleep. Did I mention that teacher's favorite animal was a wolf? I don't know if it was paranormal or just a coincidence, but it sure freaked us out. Thanks for reading. Keep up a good work.
I think people that die tragically and quickly stick around for a little while, whether they want to or not, just because I think they're disoriented. They're still figuring out what the hell. They haven't had a lot of time to process. It's not like they knew they were approaching the end.
Sure.
And I guess sticking around and following these girls back, I don't know.
Sure. I would think, too, some of it is, if you're in that state, what can I do? What can't I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine sometimes, you know, you're learning your new strengths, if you will, as far as what you can manipulate, what you can't manipulate. And probably sometimes, this is just my guess, you can wave your hand at a picture or an object and absolutely nothing will happen with it. And then for some reason, more energy is there and suddenly it's manipulated. So I wonder sometimes when things like this, where we have stories of, and then the object went flying across the room, if that was even intentional.
Right.
You know, by said spirit trying to do something, or if it's just like out of frustration, you know, like a kid, you know, wandering around, flailing their arms, hitting things and knocking things around.
Mm-hmm.
I could see being that frustrated and you get to that point and then suddenly, oh, something actually was affected by this,
yeah.
But not everything else was. Although then you have stories sometimes where it looks like a home was ransacked, and I wonder if that's part of that too, where suddenly there wasn't enough energy to do something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for the story and sharing that experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I'm here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Of course, if you're not an EPP yet, please consider signing up to be one at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. You can do it for $5 a month. That is what really fuels this thing and keeps it on the air. Or you can do a full year and get one of those months free. In addition to that, get a bunk bed bell. Have them right here. They're beautiful. And signed as well.
Yes, they are.
So stocking stuffer time, you know. What's even better is if you give it to someone who has no idea what this show is.
And they're like, why did you give me this random bell?
What the hell? What is a bunk bed bell? Why did people write their names on it? Like, is this like some sort of like voodoo bell or something?
Right.
The word ghost
You're
is
cursed
on
it? Every time you hit it.
Give it to your grandparents and people that you like to confuse.
That's nice.
And then videotape it and send us the video, because that would be that'd be great. That'd be hilarious. What is this?
Yeah.
We need it thrown at them or something. Anyway, that's what you get when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership at Real Ghost Stories Online at our website, ghostpodcast.com. Cass writes in, hello, I love the podcast. It makes the workday fly by. I've always been interested in the paranormal. I have a secondhand spooky story from my mother and friends, but I'd like to begin by telling a story I have rarely told anyone else, and it's because it is my own. Back when I was around 12, I was spending a typical summer day with my friend. It was a calm, warm day. We decided to take a walk. We lived in a small town where not much happened ever, so we were not expecting anything to go on that day until we walked down a short street and saw the empty house. Clearly vacant. The house is run down. No car in the drive. The grass way overgrown, newspapers piled up, and just a feeling that it had been left to sit for a while. We knew we had to take a look, so we did. I opened the door, and it was unlocked, opened into a messy living room. I tried the light switch and got no light to brighten it up in what state the house had been left in, yet what was left was broken. Dingy furniture, torn pages were strewn to the floor. I remember the smell of stale air, dust, and mildew. It was so still and warm, no window open as far as I could see. Across in the living room was a doorway minus the door that led into the kitchen with a fridge and table. And like the living room, things were all over the floor. We were still standing in the living room, taking in the mess. To the right of the living room was a bedroom of sorts. It had a door that was open wide where we could see a rocking chair in the room. Not knowing what to do or if we should leave, we picked up some of the papers on the floor and attempted to read them. Yet a chill ran up my spine. My friend must have felt it too, and we looked at each other. The next moment, the rocking chair started to rock slowly, and the door shut swiftly. We got out of there quickly, as can be, and ran all the way to her home. We still had a few pages from the floor in our hands. After we calmed down, we began to read. All I can remember is incoherent letters from a girl calling herself Barbie, and something happened to her. I've never found anything about her, but I hope she did not meet a harsh end. I look back on that day and remember how both of us had the same cold rush and prick of fear that sent us running. Maybe we should have stuck around to see what it was that scared us. Was it just a breeze? Was it something or someone still living, making its presence known? Or maybe something entirely different. You guys tell me. I'll write in again on my secondhand ghost stories from my hometown hospital, my university dorms, and my mom's place of work, a detention center. Keep up the good work. I have praised your show to all of my friends.
I say if you ever get that feeling, around to see what happens.
Yeah, it's usually go with your gut.
Go with your gut, because it could have been a bad deal. And who knows if that it was even the person that used to live there that wrote that. You know, vacant homes, they attract all kinds of things and people that don't have good intent.
A lot of times it's the living that you need to be more fearful of there than the dead. And sometimes I wonder if just that being the case, if sometimes vacant properties, you can have a lot of bad things going on in them.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I'm sure you could take a home that had no haunting, and if it sits empty long enough and enough not so good events take place there, you can end up having a haunted home by the time it's all said and done, and it's nothing to do with the previous owners.
Sure.
It has to do with with all the negative energy that had been there for such a time. One more story today. Richard writes in, during a typical visit to my mom and dad's house, something very curious occurred. My mom went out of her way to offer her gratitude for a lily flower arrangement she claimed I'd given her, and stated empathetically how she could not believe how long the arrangement had stayed fresh and healthy, seemingly hinting as though these flowers were eclipsing her wildest expectations for vitality. At the time, however, I refused to compliment and instinctively moved the conversation along. I had no recollection of bringing my mom this bouquet of flowers and chalked her story up to her confusing me with one of my siblings. She insisted I had gifted her the bouquet. However, in previous years, my MO was to give the precious ladies in my life assorted arrangements. Before I had even left my mom and dad's house, this conversation was a distant memory. 3 years later, after moving to a city over 500 miles away and respectfully severing ties to my family, cleaving to my newfound love with Mother's Day fast approaching, I decided to have a florist in my mother's city curry her an exceptional lily arrangement, a sort of sign to let her know she was always in my thoughts and prayers since cutting contact. 2 years later, while staying at an inexpensive motel I had booked online because campsites had closed for the season, I was enjoying some takeout and watching a Sunday night NFL game on TV. When out of nowhere, an intensely bright red illumination about the size of an LED light appeared in the room and slowly floated towards the bed where I was laying. The light was like nothing I had ever seen before. It cast an intense aura, had no shadow, and slowly approached as if it was waiting for permission. I was in complete awe of this phenomena as it crossed the room, got within inches of my face. I reached out my hand to touch the glow. My hand passed right through it. I wasn't at all sure if my hand had passed through the light or if the light passed through my hand. Right then and there, I received a positive correlation between both prior events having taken place. My mom offering gratitude for the flowers I had no idea I had sent, and ordering the Mother's Day lily flowers 3 years later. Both events happened, however, for reasons beyond my personal understanding. The chronological order had been rearranged. For what seemed like minutes, receiving information from a highly advanced power may have only taken seconds to have occurred. The light dissipated. I began to cry with elation as I sat on the bed. Transcendent beings are attracted to each other without touch, but with great emotional bonds. God bless.
So I think it was kind of given a message by this orb.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, here's why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much just a random thought he had while staring at this red orb.
Sure.
Know?
I was just kind of blown away by, hey, it's another red orb story.
I did not plan that. That's just how they fell.
We get that a lot.
Yeah.
That is such a common thing on this show. It's like, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Little red light. Like, oh.
Right.
I don't know how this happens, why this happens, but it happens. So thank you for the stories. I got a question up here on our Facebook Live. Did you guys stop streaming on Spotify? No, we did not. It is still up there, but if you were subscribed to it a long time ago, you probably need to resubscribe. So do another search for Real Ghost Stories Online. Our feed is still up there, still very active, and you can download the episodes that way. So it is still there. Just do a search on that. Kristen writes in, my ghost story doesn't involve me personally, but I feel like I have to share it. It's that scary. So my sisters and I were telling personal ghost stories one night, and one of the stories scared me so much, I had a hard time falling asleep that night. This is the best I could remember it, so here it goes. I want to say this took place either in the 40s or 50s in Arizona. My nana grew up in a very haunted house. The house was so haunted that it was free to live there. Nobody wanted to live there, but my great-grandpa didn't believe in ghosts, so he, of course, chose to live there. Strange things would happen all the time, like, for instance, the bricks in the backyard would move overnight when they were placed on the other side of the yard. They'd hear a baby cry. There'd be knocking on the door when no one was there, and they would hear a woman crying. My nana would even sometimes talk to the crying ghost lady in Spanish, and she said that she was murdered. I can't remember how it happened, but that isn't the creepiest part of the story. My nana and my aunt were sleeping in the living room one night, and my aunt, for some reason, couldn't sleep. She then said she heard footsteps slowly getting closer and closer to the bed. Then she feels something furry on her leg. It gets closer, as if it's getting into the bed with her, and ends up lying next to her. My aunt is frozen with fear and trying to yell out to my Nana, sleeping right next to her, because she can barely talk. My aunt finally starts screaming and wakes up my Nana. My Nana asks her what's wrong, and my aunt said she felt the fury, or a furry entity, get out of the bed. There's nothing there. They didn't have any pets.
So I don't know if it's paranormal or not, mm-hmm. but either way, it's terrifying that some random furry thing crawled into your bed.
I don't know what I'd rather have. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick random furry thing that's not your pet.
Sure.
Crawl into bed with you, or have a ghost for a moment crawl into bed or sit on the bed. What would you pick?
Ghost probably isn't going to bite me.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking I'd rather maybe go with the ghost than the random furry, possibly rabid animal.
I think that that would be a probably better choice. Go with the ghost in that case, because it would be,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just hate that idea, like little squeaky things, you know, running on top of you. And
how big is it?
Yeah. I would not do good with that.
No.
Thank you for sharing your story and your experience with us. We greatly appreciate that. As stated before, this show is supported by you guys, our EPP members, extra podcast persons. You sign up to be one on the website at ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month, or you can do a full year, get one of those months free, and get a wonderful, I was going to say delicious, which that doesn't really apply to a metal object.
It's not edible.
It's not edible. I should say, don't try and eat this. Bunk bed bell when you sign up for a yearly membership. When you email us and let us know that you became an EPP, bunk bed bell at realghoststoriesonline.com, you get that. So a couple ways to do that. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.